This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. When you think about a restaurant, yeah, sure, you think about the food. You almost certainly think less, though, about how that restaurant works, how the room is run, why the menu is the way it is, how the ambiance sausage actually gets made, so to speak. That is Jen Ag's job. She's a restaurateur based in Toronto, where she runs a handful of restaurants, about which she writes in her new book. It's called I Hear She's a Real Bitch. Thanks for coming on.
Hi, Kai.
So I should say, before we actually turn the microphones on and start recording, I asked you how you should be identified, because I like to make sure I get that right. And you said writer and restaurateur, or restaurateur and writer, either one of those, which is comfortable, and that's fine. We'll do that. I noticed you didn't say chef. You're not a chef restaurateur. You just run the places.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely not a chef. No, that's a common misperception.
Yeah, and I wanted to clear that up.
Thanks.
You got into it, though, via, we should say, cocktails, basically, right?
Yeah, I mean, I got into it via needing a job as a teenager, really, and realizing, I don't know, like, I don't really understand these young kids who go into retail for minimum wage when you can make so much more money and have a lot more fun in restaurants.
Do me a favor and describe the dining room at the Black Hoof, your first big hit restaurant. And I don't mean describe it, what it looks like. Tell me about the mood. Tell me about the sense.
I think restaurants really are extraordinarily mood-based. So I think people think that they go to restaurants and they just want to eat the food. But really, I think the atmosphere, the service, the lighting, the general vibe, the way you feel when you're in there contributes to so much more about your experience than you sort of maybe are willing to admit. The Hoof is intended to feel very casual, comfortable. It's a cool space without, I mean, it's hard to use the word cool because you end up sounding kind of like an asshole. But like, it's just like, it's a straightforward space. But I think that when you walk in, you're just immediately sort of triggered by the fact that it's a fun room. It feels good.
You still work a shift, right?
I do. I still work often. I'm right now, because we just opened Grey Gardens, which is our new place in Toronto, I'm there all the time during service, just kind of watching and monitoring the room and talking to people and managing a little bit here and there. But yeah, and I still like to do hosting shifts every once in a while at the Hoof.
What does it mean to you to be able to do that?
To be plugged in to... Okay, so this whole business really does revolve around the idea of family. And it's not just for practical purposes that you're like seeing these people you work with every day more than you see your actual family. But if you are too unplugged from that in a real way for too long, and I know lots of restaurant owners probably are, but it doesn't work for me. I need to actually connect with these people that are working so hard for me and, you know, making the places actually operate properly. It's all about your staff. So if you kind of turn away from that, or, you know, you're busy expanding and you're not actually in your rooms and checking things out, it shows.
You are, though, running, frankly, I've lost count, 4 or 5 high-profile places. Can't be in all of them at once. How do you keep yourself plugged in?
I go to Montreal a lot to check in there. So we have Agricola Montreal, yep. And I just got back. I was there for the day, basically, yesterday. I flew in at noon, and I was out by, like, 6 p.m. the following day. And it doesn't seem like a lot of time, but I was able to have, like, FaceTime with the managers and the cooks and, like, just connect with the staff. And then in Toronto, I ride my bike around a lot. So the restaurants are all really close together. There's the Hoof, Rum, and Cocktail Bar, and this sort of trifecta on Dundas. And it's like this little island of loveliness that we built for ourselves. And it's very nice. So we just, yeah, make it work.
There's an American-centric question I have to ask, mostly because I don't want to have to go to Toronto and go to the Black Hoof. Are you going to come to the States anytime soon?
Wait, you know what? Toronto's not.
Look,
okay, listen,
I like Canada. I lived in Ottawa for 2 years, coldest years of my life, lovely town, but I froze my yayas off. But so, you know, L.A. maybe, New York? I don't know.
I never say never, but I don't want to. It was really, really difficult to open a restaurant 500 kilometers. That is, I don't know, 260 miles for you guys. Can you guys just adopt the metric system
look,
already?
Don't get me started on that. I know.
It's time.
I know.
So it seems unlikely, although I love coming to L.A. to visit Jess at Squirrel. So I'm going to be definitely coming and doing something soon.
This book is about a lot of things. There are a lot of threads in this book, right? There's creativity. There's hard work. There's sex. There is also... sexism and the misogyny that you find in the restaurant business. And it's not something that is apparent in popular society because, you know, you got all those cool cooking shows and this and that and celebrity chefs, but it's real and it's there.
Right. I think what's really interesting about restaurants is we're in the business of public-facing hospitality. Usually I think that's why people, as sort of guests and customers of the restaurant, they don't see it. you know, people that are maybe perpetuating this terrible culture are able to turn on the charm, and you're going to be a little bit maybe blinded by that. I think that's a part of it.
Give me the rest of it.
Well, I mean, it's many prongs. It's a male-centric industry, first of all. I don't know too many women who are chefs, let alone restaurateurs. I mean, obviously they're out there. Obviously that's changing. But yeah, so you've got kids coming into the industry really, really young, learning this sort of wild west of kitchens. And I mean, that's part of what keeps these young men and women interested, you know, in these 12-hour days, is that this isn't an office. This isn't an uptight room that you're in. You can let loose a little bit. And I think when it goes too far, and it often does, that's where the problems start to happen. So it's trying to find that nuance for people and explain, well, no, you can still actually have fun, but you can rein it in and not make this, like, young immigrant dishwasher the butt of the jokes.
Yeah. You've been doing this 15, 18-ish something years.
Maybe more like 20.
Is it really 20? All right.
23. Okay. I mean, I've been doing it since I was 18, and I'm 42 almost.
Okay. Is it getting better?
I mean, yes, and that, you know, I don't know. Like, I feel like right now the climate in our world is terrifying. So, no, I don't think it's getting better. Sorry.
it is what it is. I ask the questions, you answer them.
Yeah.
It's a book called I Hear She's a Real Bitch. It's a great read, I got to tell you, by Jen Ag. Jen, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much. You read it. That's really nice.
I did read it. Come on. It's, yeah.
Thanks.